You're listening to the Way of Truth broadcast. The service originates in the radio studios of the Church of God in Hagerstown, Maryland, United States of America. This is Alvin E. Craig speaking. We're thankful that you're tuned our way. We ask you to stay with us, and we trust our Lord will make our broadcast a blessing to you. We do thank the Lord for the privilege of sharing another Way of Truth broadcast with you. And we are opening this program with the selection, My Surrender. If we will do what the Word of God teaches us, Trust in the Lord with all of our heart, and lean not unto our own understanding, but in all of our ways acknowledge Him. He will direct our path, and He will direct us in the right path. Heavenly Father, we do thank You for the privilege of sharing the gospel with this precious people today. Wherever our broadcast is being heard, we're praying the Holy Spirit will accompany it and use it, and souls shall be blessed. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We continue now with this election, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. Our subject for today's broadcast, Men and Women with Convictions. And our text of Scripture is Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 and 2. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Conviction is being convinced of something, being convinced of the truth, a strong belief. And how important conviction is, and how important it is when we have right convictions that we stand by them. Now, Jesus was a man of convictions. We read in the Scriptures, when He was just 12 years of age, His parents took Him to Jerusalem for the Feast of the Passover, and He stayed behind as they started their journey home. They thought He was with the rest of the children and friends, but they found out He wasn't. And they returned to Jerusalem looking for Him, and after 3 days, they found Him in the temple discussing things with the doctors and with the religious leaders. He was asking them questions, and He was answering questions for them. And whenever His parents found Him, His mother said to Him, why, son, have You treated us this way? And Jesus responded to her, how is it that You sought Me? Wished ye not that I must be about My Father's business? Yes, at 12 years of age, Jesus said he must be about his Father's business. And we later on read where Jesus was teaching the people, and he was saying to them that they must eat his flesh and drink his blood to have eternal life. And some of them didn't understand, evidently, what he really meant. He didn't mean that they had to actually eat his flesh and drink his literal blood, but they should accept who he was, and they should live out his teachings that he was giving them. Anyway, some of them said, "This is a hard saying. Who can hear it?" And then away they went away and followed him no more. And Jesus turned to the 12, and he said, "Will you go away also?" In other words, I'm not going to change the message. This is the message. And he, "Are you going to go away also?" And Peter said, "To whom shall we go? You alone have the words of eternal life." Now, later on, near the end of Jesus' earthly ministry, he told the disciples, "Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify him. And the third day he shall rise again." That's Matthew chapter 20 and verses 18 and 19. We see in this passage of Scripture that Jesus was aware, he knew what was ahead of him, but he had the convictions that he must do the will of the Father. Yes, he did pray in the garden, "If it be possible, let this cup pass from me, but nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou will." So Jesus was determined, and he prayed to his Father, and he said to his Father, "I have done the work that thou gavest me to do." So Jesus was a man of firm convictions, and he stood by those convictions, even though it meant crucifixion and death. Now we read in the book of Daniel about Daniel and some of his friends who had been taken from Jerusalem to Babylon as war prisoners. And Daniel was about 16 years of age at this time. And the king chose him and some others of the Jews to put them in college and to teach them and to train them to be officials in his government. And he was going to provide them with their food. But Daniel told the one who brought the food to them that he was not going to defile himself with the king's meat. He didn't know whether it hadn't been offered to idols, and he was not going to eat it because of that or for some other reason. And he asked that they give him and his friends only vegetables. The man was hesitant in doing that, but he allowed Daniel to have 10 days to prove. And whenever the 10 days were up, Daniel and his friends looked fairer and more healthy than the rest of them did. And so they allowed him to continue with his diet. So Daniel stood by his convictions even when he was 16 years of old. And we read on, as Daniel was promoted, he was the chief of the three presidents that the king had, and they became jealous of him and wanted to get something against him, and they searched the records and found out that he was not a crooked politician, and he was going to do what was right. And they said, "Well, the only way we're going to get anything on this man is by him or between him and his God." So they went to the king and had the king to sign a decree that no one should make a petition or a request of anybody or any god except the king for 30 days. And when Daniel heard that that decree had been signed, what did he do? He went into his house, went upstairs, and there the window of his house was open, and he knelt in prayer just like he had been a habit of doing. He prayed 3 times a day. And these men knew that, and they were outside the house just waiting to see what Daniel will do. They had confidence in him, and Daniel didn't disappoint them. He knelt down there looking towards Jerusalem, and he prayed just like he had been before. And so they went to the king, and they told the king about how Daniel had disobeyed. And the king was quite sad about that because he respected Daniel quite highly. But nevertheless, the punishment for disobeying on that decree was that he would be put in the lion's den. And even the king walked to the pit with him, and they were talking, and the king was encouraging Daniel to believe in his God. They put Daniel down in that lion's den, and God sent his angel and closed the lion's mouth, and they did not harm Daniel. The next morning the king went down there, "O king, O Daniel, are you able, is your God able to deliver you?" And he said, "O king, live forever. God has sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth." And the king was so pleased with that, he had him to bring Daniel up out of the lion's den, and he said, "Now you go get those fellows that tricked me into signing that. Get them and their family and cast them in the lion's den." And before those people even got to the ground, the lions had a hold of them, tearing them to pieces. And Daniel was safe, and God was with him. He had convictions, and he stood by his conviction, and God rewarded him for his convictions. Now, Daniel had 3 friends there in Babylon that was carried away with him from Jerusalem, and their name there was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And the king had set up a great image out on the plains of Dur, and he ordered that everybody he had sent, God brought in some of his governors and officials and all, and he said, "Now whenever you hear the music sounded, you bow down." And these 3 men refused to bow down, and the opposers went to the king and told him about these 3 young men that wouldn't bow down to his image, and it upset the king quite a bit. But he brought them in, and he gave them another opportunity. You know, the devil is always ready to give you a second chance to do what is wrong. And the king offered them, if they would just bow down and do what they were supposed to do, he'd forget about their disobedience. And they answered the king, "Now, O king, it is not for us to bow down to this image." And they told him, "We will not serve your gods, nor will we bow to this golden image which you have set up. Our God is able to deliver us from the fiery furnace, and if not, he still will deliver us out of your hand." So the king ordered the furnace 7 times hotter than normal. He took his strongest men in his army. They bound these 3 young men and tossed them in the fiery furnace like they were tossing a piece of wood in there. And God allowed the fire to burn the bands that they were bound with off. But there was not a hair singed on their head. There was no smell on the smoke of smoke on their bodies. And the king looked in and he said, "He's all 4. He said, "Didn't we throw 3 in there?" "Yes." "Well, I see 4. And they're walking around in there and not harm." And he commanded those 3 young men to come out of that fiery furnace. And they were promoted in their position as well because they stood by their convictions. Now, there was a prophetess in Israel. Israel had done wrong, and God had allowed them to be taken in into servitude to another people, and they were mistreating the Israelites, burning their crops or stealing their crops and doing them harm, and they were in great distress. So they went to Deborah, this prophetess, and they wanted her to help them. So she sent a message to a man by the name of Barak that he should take 10,000 men and go down to the river Kishon, and God would deliver them from their enemy. And Barak said now to Deborah, "I'll go if you go with me, but if you won't go with me, I won't go." And she said, "Well, I'll go with you." She had conviction that God would deliver them, and she said, "I'll go with you," and she did. And God gave them the victory, and Barak and his men won the battle there because they were willing to obey this prophetess' words. Again, obedience, having conviction, and obeying those convictions were rewarded by the Almighty God. And Deborah said to Barak there at the river, "Up to, for this is the day, this is the day which the Lord has delivered you in out of his hands," or out of the enemy's hand. And so they did. Now Elijah was a prophet of God, one of the greatest prophets that Israel had. And the king Ahab had married a woman by the name of Jezebel, who was not an Israelite. She was a worshiper of Baal, and she brought 450 false prophets into Israel, and they were teaching the people to worship Baal, and Elijah stood against it. He had convictions to stand for the true and the living God, and he said to the people, when he had the king to get him up there on Mount Carmel, he said to the people, "Why halt ye between two opinions? If God be God, then serve him. If Baal be God, then serve him." And the people kept their mouths shut, and they wouldn't say a word. And Elijah said, "Well, I'll give you a proposition. You prepare your altar and put your animal upon it and call upon your God and see who answers by fire." And they called on their God for hours, even got up on the altar and cut themselves, and the blood run down on their sacrifice. And Elijah stood back and said, "Well, maybe your God's gone on a journey, or maybe he's gone to sleep, cry louder." But about time, a little after noontime, Elijah said, "Now it's my time." And so he had the altar of the Lord repaired, put his sacrifice upon it, dug a ditch around it, and had him to put 12 barrels of water on that sacrifice, and it filled up the trench that had been built, dug around the altar, and he stood back, prayed a short prayer, and asked God to send the fire. And beloved, God sent the fire and consumed the sacrifice, and also licked up the water that had been poured on the sacrifices. And God was the true God, and the people of Israel said, "He is the true God." And they realized that Baal was not the true God, but that God that Elijah was serving was indeed the true God. Now we look in the New Testament, and we see a man by the name of Stephen. He was a godly man, a man full of faith and of power, and did many miracles. And he told the people what the truth was. He had convictions, and he told the people, his people, the Israelites, but they were upset at him and wouldn't listen. And Stephen preached them a powerful sermon, and it upset them so much, they took Stephen outside the gates of Jerusalem and stoned him to death. And while they were stoning him, Stephen said to the Lord, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit, and lay not this sin to their charge." And they laid their coats down at a young man's name of a feet whose name was Saul. And Stephen stood by his conviction, even though it meant death. Beloved, if you have strong convictions, stand by them. And we read about this same young man. He was so furious towards the disciples of Christ. He had some of them killed and some of them thrown in prison. And he got papers from the high priest and the authorities there in Jerusalem to go to Damascus, that if he found anybody there that believed in Christ, he would bring them to Jerusalem and have them put in prison. And so he and his party traveled up towards Damascus. And before they got to Damascus, a great light shone down upon Saul and struck him to the ground. And he heard a voice, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" And he said, "Lord, who is it?" And the voice said, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It's hard for you to kick against the prick." And Saul said to the Lord, "Lord, what would you have me to do?" And he told him to go into to Damascus, and there it would be told what he should do. That light had struck him blind, and God sent a man by the name of Ananias to down the street called Straight, prayed for Saul, and he received his sight, and he also received the Holy Spirit and was baptized and became one of the greatest of all the apostles, establishing churches in Asia Minor, even in Europe. And he was indeed a faithful servant of God. He suffered many things, beaten and put in prison, and various things that happened to him, shipwrecked. But he said, "None of these things move me." And at the close of his life, he said, "I am now ready to be offered. I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. And henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, and not to me only, but to all those who will fear and serve the true and the living God." So, beloved, we have brought to you today just a few who had strong convictions and stood by their convictions. And they are examples for us to follow. Heavenly Father, I pray that you will bless these thoughts to our precious congregation today, and good shall be accomplished. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You've been listening to the Way of Truth broadcast. We trust that it has proven to be a blessing. If so, why not let us know? Our mailing address, The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. Our email address, truth@fred.net. truth@fred.net, our email. Our webpage address, www.wayoftruth.org. We invite you to go to our webpage and join us in our services. Our Sunday morning service begins 20 minutes before 11, our Sunday evening service at 6, and our Wednesday evening service at 7. And they are broadcast live over the internet, www.wayoftruth.org. And now this is Alvin Craig inviting you to be with us next week when, again, the Lord willing, we bring you another Way of Truth broadcast.